Okay.
Today we're going to explore the Parsha of Achrimot. I think we're probably only going to spend one share on Achrimot. We're going to leave, I want to make sure we leave enough time to really, really sit with the concept of Kedusha and Parsha Kedoshim, and Achrimot leads us right in there. Every parsha needs to be taken on its own and needs to be seen on its own. What I've been thinking about, struggling with, and listening to my Rebbe Shirim, and then giving it my own thought as well, is to what extent Achrimot leads us into Kedoshim. I want to present the overarching sense of the parsha. I'm going to show you where I struggled with my Rebbe's presentation slightly, and I want to offer an alternative explanation. Take it or leave it. But I spent a lot of time with Parshat Achrimot, mostly because I kind of pieces seemed to be missing for me, and I wanted to try to fill in those gaps as best I could. I'd like to share with you what I suspect to be what's happening in the context of Parshat Achrimot. Opening up, what are the three? Well, I already gave away the number, but the three primary topics that are dealt with in the context of Parshat Achrimot. The first topic? It's definitely the first one. Yom Kippur. We open up Parshat Achrimot, going into the Inyan of Yom Kippur, how Klal Yisrael gets kapara for everything that they've done. Achat Bashanaz, it says, the how to come into Kodesh HaKadoshim, again, already alluding to the fact that we're moving into Parshat Kedoshim, meaning how do we enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is what the procedure of Yom HaKippur is about, is the first topic in Parshat Achrimot. What's the second topic, which is the harder one to identify? Has its own paragraph. Let's give it a name. That's in there, and don't do it. And it's in there. But it's really, if you look carefully at the Pesukim, that you're not allowed to bring korbanot outside of the context of Beit HaMikdash and Mishkan. If you want to see it as it's, again, that's the term that's given to it, but just the way it presents itself. Perek Yitzayin Pasuk Gimel. Ish ish vit Yisrael asher yishchat shor, again, asher yishchat shor o chesev o eiz v'machane o asher yishchat michutz l'machane. That's the introduction to this paragraph. The issue of Shchutei Chutz, bringing Korbanot outside of the context of Mishkan, outside of the context of Beit HaMikdash. And then the final paragraph, which is actually known as Parshat This. Yeah, which you refer to as? Arayot, more specifically. And it's referred to as Parshat Arayot. Yom HaKippur, Shchutei Chutz, and Arayot.
The middle paragraph doesn't have to do with Yom Kippur.
What is the last paragraph to do with Yom Kippur?
Read it on Yom Kippur.
Wow, it says Batsheva. I already made a connection in the Parsha, says Batsheva. I already made a connection in the Parsha.
I mean, there's probably definitely, like, something in the middle there, because I feel like you can't not have everything lined up.
Not everything lined up. It's all in the same Parsha.
Yeah.
Says Batsheva. There's only three topics in the whole Parsha. And it was so glaring that she almost jumped out of her seat. And she says, I don't understand. Yom Kippur is about Yom Kippur. You know how I know? Because it's about Yom Kippur. Arayot, I might not have thought would have been linked to Yom Kippur, but for those of us who are awake and cognizant and able to focus and come back from our nap on Yom Kippur and make it to Mincha, which doesn't even give us the buffer time of Ashrei Nevel Etzion, we just open up the Aron, we come out, we take out the Torah at Mincha time, and we read the Parsha to Arayot. Meaning, of these three topics in the Parsha, two of them we read on Yom Kippur. Fascinating, says Batsheva. On two levels. One is, what's then the connection? And then your question, which is one of the things that was really, really pulling at me, because my Rebbe didn't answer it explicitly in his shiur at all. He only dedicated 20 minutes to Achrimot. And I'm like, wait, what happened to Shchutei Chutz? How does Shchutei Chutz fit in? We don't read it on Yom Kippur, but if Yom Kippur is the opening of the, it is the opening of this Parsha, and it seems to, at the very least, be linking the first and third topics, what's going on with Shchutei Chutz? Excellent.
Somewhere.
What?
Has to fit in somewhere.
and God not having anywhere else to put it, he thought, dump it in the middle of Kramer and nobody will notice it and it'll be fine. Right, so I mean, it has to fit in with it. So this is the question, how does it fit in? It does, I agree with you, it has to. The question is how. What? It's all, thank you. And Adina, so Batsheva says it also with Yom Kippur. Aliza said it has to be a narrative, and now we're all stuck. Mm-hmm. What happens? Great. Yeah?
Not been able to get it in a nice little sentence, but like, now that I'm looking at it, like, it is a little bit the same, because like, service outside the Beit HaMikdash, like, Beit HaMikdash is like, or the Mishkan is like, Hashem's zone, and like, Yom Kippur, like, is really when, like, you're in that little space, when you're in, like, the littlest space that you could get into, and are like, also, like in a marriage, like that where you have that, just you and another person,
mm-hmm.
you're violating that by, like, you're violating a lot of things, but you're violating that, just you and one other person, but those, it doesn't really connect. I mean, like, it's,
I want to come back to that.
Okay.
Let's hold that for a second. Okay, let's start to build. You got everybody. Everybody's here for Chana also.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Nobody is smiling. Everyone's serious.
So you know what's going to happen right now? We're all going to keep going, but everybody's going to smile. We keep going. Do one round. Yeah. Okay. Yes. I'm talking about Yom Kippur. How could you not be smiling? Yeah. All right, I was fine. But Yom Kippur. Yeah.
I don't know exactly
what Shkutehut is. Shkutehut, okay. So what is Shkutehut? It's when, the Torah describes, when you bring a korban outside of the context of, what? You take an animal,
yeah.
You shecht it, outside. Outside, when you shecht it outside of the context of where it can be brought. Meaning you go and you bring it as a korban on the bamot, wherever it is that you want. You go to your backyard, right? Barbecues are totally fine as long as it's not a korban, right? But if you bring it, if you make a barbecue outside in your backyard, in your lawn as a korban, thanks. As a korban, that's a problem. Yes, it was something which we struggled with for generations. You know what else we struggled with for generations? So I want to find a way to bring those two together.
So then maybe that's what Yom Kippur is there to do.
I want to find a way to bring those two together. Yes, and the old thing is Yom Kippur. Aliyah is like, I'm still holding by the narrative theory. Yes, we're gonna work our way back there. So let's start to build. Okay. Let's start to build.
Looking up at the
Of course it's not. Okay. Let's really, Shoshana, we gotta really bring it around. Okay. Okay. Ensure that the way that my Rebbe presents things is as follows. What we've been dealing with so far as a ramification of, all the way back, we're never going to leave this behind, as a ramification of the deaths of Nadav and Avihu and their mistake and the requirement to introduce boundaries and those boundaries being a clarification of the distinction between Tum'ah and Tahara and Kodesh and Chol. So we need to start bringing into ourselves, we need to start creating for ourselves those boundaries. And what we've been doing over Parshiot, Tazria, and Mitzora is we've been dealing with certain types of tum'ot. We started with a tum'ah that's the most external, of bringing tame animals into myself. That's an issue. That's the thing I can't do. We then moved into Tazria and Mitzora we talked about. There it becomes one step more internal. It relates to me. Mitzora, Yoledet, Zav, Zava, Nida, Balkeri. What's the final stage here, as my Rebbe frames it, of Tum'ot that need to be removed? What's the difference between Arayot, the final stage of Tum'ah, as opposed to all of those other previous stages of Tum'ah? I would pull it back a little bit. Call it relational, which is not so different. I'm saying to call it relational. Meaning, there was things that are external to me, taking in a tummy animal, There are things about me, myself, dealing with myself inherently. And then here is the interrelational piece, which he defines as the deepest, this is his words, the deepest level of tum'ah that needs to be peeled away before finally being able to enter into Kedusha. And that's why when we enter into Parshat Kedoshim, and it says, Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem, Rashi on the spot says, how do I define Kedusha? What is Kedusha all about? What does Rashi say there? Anybody familiar with that Rashi? To separate from Arayos. And that's the connection between the Parshiot. So the last layer of Tum'at to remove before one can finally enter into a reality of Kedusha, that's Arayot. That's what allows one to make that shift. And on Yom Kippur, we remove all levels of Tum'at from within ourselves. We're familiar with the Pasuk, as the Pasuk says, I know it's here because I underlined it earlier today. Ki bayom hazeh yichaper aleichem litaher etchem mikol chatoteichem lifnei Hashem titaharu. All tumot are removed. And the final layers of tumah that are removed, and the deepest layers of tumah that are removed, and the deepest chambers of ourselves, as we'll talk about more, by our kodesh hakodashim, by our kruvim, the deepest layers of tumah that need to be removed, are going to be need to be removed are the tumot and the realm of arayot. And that's why these two appear in this same parasha, and that's why these are all a prerequisite to parashat kedoshim. And then we can start talking about what it really means to be kadosh. I personally have a few questions on this, which is where I spent the most of my thinking time for this shiur. I have a few questions on this. First thing is, we didn't answer the Shchutei Chutz question. And I already put it in, meaning my Rebbe, he first outlined it with his students. But he left out Shchutei Chutz. Not saying he doesn't have an answer, he only gave 20 minutes to Achrei Mot. I don't know. He left out Shchutei Chutz. Second of all, thinking of the narrative, at least I'm looking at you, thinking of the narrative, the way that I just presented it, what's problematic about the narrative? Yeah. Say more, Sherry, say it out.
Because if these are all things that you have to get rid of before you enter the holy space of Yom Kippur, then Yom Kippur should be black.
Yes, that's what I said also. So either we're both totally wrong, or we're both onto something. I suspect we're both onto something. Which is, if we're going to say that Arayot is the final stage of Tum'ah that needs to be peeled away before we can enter into Kedusha, and Yom Kippur is that which peels away all Tum'ot, if that was the narrative that was being expressed, then Arayot should come at the beginning, perhaps with or without Shchutei Chutz, whatever that's about, and then put Yom Kippur at the end, and then have Yom Kippur go right into Parsha Kedoshim. I would have built the Parsha the way that Sharon wanted to build the Parsha, if it was presented the way that I presented it. But that's not how it's presented. And it doesn't answer for Shchutei Chutz. What I suspect is the following. And we'll see that we're going to give pieces of this answer today. And as we build through Parshat Kedoshim, we will retroactively understand on much deeper levels what I'm trying to bring out already here on its earlier prerequisite stage in Parshat Achrei Mot. Okay? This also struck me this morning. How does the Parsha open up? What are the first words? Keep going. Acharei mot shnei bnei Aaron bekorvasam when I learned which pasuk bekorvatam lifnei Hashem vayemutu, when they came close to Kadosh Baruch Hu and they died. What have we been talking about as the definition of tum'ah up until now? Being closed off, meaning, and that was how we discussed it two shiurim ago. Last year we clarified it more finely. Closing oneself off from the Makor HaChaim, which then inevitably lets in what? Lets in Mita, death. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe l'mor, acharei mot shnei bnei Aaron bikorvatam el Hashem vayamutu. I wonder if everything we said in the last few shiurim is correct, And that tum'ah is this duality of both covering off as its actual meaning of the word, and also then, by creating an empty space, letting in death. So after that death sets in, meaning Nadab and Avihu did something wrong, something which set off this whole chain reaction, which is the rest of Sefer Vayikra. The first thing that happens is that the tum'ah is let in. And tum'ah itself, as we said, is a reality of death. It's a reality of death. After that death sets in, and now we know all of the different types of tzumot that there are that we've described, that we've explored over the last couple of parshiot. What is parshat achreimot? Achreimot, what does achreimot mean? Without the rest of the words, the pasuk. After the death sets in, after there's a reality of mita, that's the title, that's the definition of parshat achreimot. Achreimot, what do you then need to do? What's the process that you need to go through? Not yet. Not yet. You're skipping a parsha. You need to go through this parsha. What removes all levels of tum'ah from one's being? Yom Kippur. Once the tum'ah, once the mitah, once there's been clogging of that system, a clogging of those pipelines, which then blocks off the life force from coming in, once those pipes have become clogged up, how am I mitaher? How do I cleanse out that system? How do I allow the light to become to shine through again? How do I cleanse that system? What do I do after the mitah is set in? Yom Kippur. And there's a way to do it. Not like Nadav and Avihu. Remember, we even discussed the Chazal, which mentioned that Moshe and Aaron couldn't get the fire to come down at the inauguration of the Mishkan. And then Nadav and Avihu run in and they try to bring it down by bringing in their own Eish Zara. Now, if you want Tahara, there's a way to do it. And that's Achat Bashana. One time of year, in this time, in this way, not like Nadav and Avihu, you come in and this is how you get Tahara for all of Klal Yisrael. Which in my mind, my small little mind, implies that what have we moved past once we finish the topic of Yom Kippur?
The eagerness to want people again to bring.
Not philosophically, narratively. What have we moved past? What concept have we left behind to a certain extent? To a certain extent, we seem to have left behind tum'ah. Meaning if Yom Kippur is the ultimate mitaher, which again, that's why I underlined that pasuk this morning. Just I went back to go and see if the word, if it was inherent in the pasuk, and it's so there in the pasuk. Perek tet zayin pasuk lamed. Ki bayom hazeh yichaper aleichem litaher etchem mikol chatotechem, from all of your chataim, whether it's the ones that we enumerated in the previous two parshiot or not. Mikol chatotechem. Lifnei Hashem titaharu, you want to be tahor before Hashem? That happens with Yom Kippur. So we remove all of those blockages. Everything's gone after Yom Kippur. And the Tahara is there. The Tahara is there. Why continue on with Shchutei Chutz and Arayot? Not to claim Chas V'Shalom that they're not Tumot. They are absolutely Tumot. But I think the narrative is suggesting something even more powerful. Which is, and again, this is a concept that you're going to, at a certain level, hopefully should click, and on a certain level, we're going to need many more shirim and parshat kedoshim to retroactively understand. Which is as follows. Once I open up those pipelines, once I clear out all of that dirt, once I remove all of those blockages, all of that tum'ah, I now am free. I now have the capacity, because all of my system is open and clear, to connect to whatever I want. I can connect to whatever I choose, because I've cleansed those systems. They're free. They're open. But now I need to know what to connect to. Now I need to know what will come, and in the worst of possible ways, by connecting to those things, will block up those systems, like I already said, in the worst ways possible? Or what can I connect to that will allow something much more positive, which maybe we'll define as Kiddushah, to flow through that system? First, we define the Sor Meira, and And then we define the aseh tov, that inherently essential in the human condition are these pipelines. They're pipelines of connectivity, of relationship. First we define what to cut off, and then we can define what to connect to. And that explains both shchutei chutz and areyot. Why does it explain shchutei chutz? Because of the pasuk that we read all the way back in Parshat Tzav as a proof for the Rambam, which we're going to read again right now. Take a look inside. What were they doing when they were bringing these shchutei chutz? Say again? 100%. Well, definitely not what they weren't commanded to. In fact, they're doing also now something which they are commanded not to do. For sure. But why are they bringing them? What are they looking to accomplish by bringing shchutei chutz?
Activity, but only for them.
What are you saying? Listen to the psukim. I was very excited when I saw this. First it says not to bring shchutei chutz. Then says the Torah in Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. Everybody look inside with me. Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. V'lo yizbechu od et zivchechem la Seirim, Asherheim Zonim Achareihem, Chukat Olam Tiazot Lahem Ledorotam. Why are they bringing Shchutei Chutz? As Avodah Zarah, to connect to false gods. That's a question as to why is that the name that it gives it. First of all, it's a name that's given later on. But either way, yes, one needs to, I'm with you, we have to figure out why it would be called that. But either way, the Torah gives us a reason inherent in the psukim why you should stop doing this, why they were doing it before. It was to connect to something else. It was to connect to this Avodah Zarah. Don't give it to them. And what word is even used in that context? Which is a word that the Torah and Tanakh always like to use for Avodah Zarah. That relates very much to Arayot. What word's right there in the middle of that pasuk? Zonim. In which you adulterously connect to. Meaning, you've cleared away those passages. And there are two realms of reality, which, as an aside, this is going to answer, even like my mind was just like running this morning. This is going to answer a lot of questions in terms of, I think, how people misunderstand Parsha Kedoshim as well. There are two realms, there are two categories of reality in which a person can go off and misconnect. One is in the realm of bin Adam l'makom, and one is in the realm of bin Adam l'chavero. And the two are obviously connected. And in fact, there are three realms of space entirely. What's the third realm that we left out? And where do we take care of it out on the Atzmo? Tashriya and Mitzora. That's before we get to the relational pieces. All of the issues that we talked about in Tashriya and Mitzora were all made out of the Atzmo. End of parentheses. But there are two ways that we can connect. And there are two ways that we can misconnect. You can either misconnect by going to Shchutei Chutz and being Mizaneh here with Elohim Achirim, with Seirim, with demons, ghosts, things that don't, all of these random things that may or may not exist, may or may not come and manifest, whether real or not doesn't matter. You're running after these other gods. There's a level of Znut, and here on Arayot, you're going after a relationship again that's not a relationship that the Torah has mandated. It's a relationship that's explicitly what the Torah does not mandate. And to me, what drives that point home is, let's even go back to that Rashi that my Rebbe quoted. The Rashi at the beginning of Kedoshim says, Kedoshim ki Kedoshim ki Kedoshim Hashem Elokechem. So what does Rashi say is the issue there? Don't get involved in? How does he frame it though? Prushim tiyu min areyot shekol makom shatza ro'eh motzi geder erva motzi kedusha. Meaning, every time you find a fence around Arayot, there you'll find Kedusha. What are these telling us to do? Once you've cleared away everything with Yom Kippur, then make sure to build your fences. And don't allow other things to connect to these open pipelines. And I'm telling you, says Rashi, that anytime you find a geder around arayot, whether it's a geder around either one of these for that matter, anytime you find a geder put up, anytime you live parshat achrimot to its fullest, that once you clear those pipelines, you build up those walls, and don't let anything come in that's not meant to enter your system, any levels of connectivity that are not meant to enter your system, if you block that off and held that for Kiddushah alone, then you will find Kiddushah. That's what I think Achrimot is setting out to accomplish, and I think that that's the narrative of the Parsha. Clear away the blockages of Tum'ah, of Mitah, everything that's clogged up the system. And now, says God, I'm going to introduce you to two more concepts that while they are the worst levels of Tum'ot, this is the most frightening time because now that the blockages are opened, they've been cleared, nature abhors a void. And now anything can come in. So once you've cleared that space, be very careful about what you let into that space. And don't go ahead with Shchutei Chutz, B'mezanah V'Elohim Acherim. And don't allow yourself to get caught up in Arayot, with relationships between man and man, which can lead to negative places as well, which bring terrible tumah to oneself as well. Questions, thoughts, comments, reflections on that proposed frame for Parshat Achrimot? Rachel.
This reminds me of the last paragraph of Shema where it mentions Kedoshim. So there's obviously a correlation there too, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what we'll say for now.
Is this maybe like related to the fact that, I mean, I don't know if it's source, but I've heard that like people who are the greater the tzaddik, the greater their yitzhahara, and the fact that if they're totally clear from all, I guess, Arayot and Tameh, does that mean that they have a greater ability to have it filled with the Arayot?
It's a powerful way to look at it. I have never thought about it in those in that framework, but it certainly seems to make sense. Yeah, 100%. Excellent. Yeah.
I don't know if this fits, but I was thinking maybe before, like, being a Atzmo, because you're, like, reflecting on yourself, because the other two were from Makom and Chavir.
I have to think about that more, and I need to understand Yom Kippur a little bit more clearly to be able to say yes or no to that point, but that's food for thought. Yeah, no, you're pointing out that everything beforehand, so Yom Kippur is automatically mechapik because it's Ben Adam La'atzmo, as opposed to Ben Adam La'makom, I don't know. Ben Adam La'chavir, that's certainly a fantastic point. I have to think about it. Okay. With that, we are going to actually very quickly and unfortunately briefly close our discussion of Achrimot. We'll be jumping headfirst into Parsha Kedoshim on Wednesday. Please, it's a short Parsha. It's a complicated Parsha with dealing with possibly the most powerful and complicated term in all of Judaism, the concept of Kedushah, which we will be hopefully sitting in for the next few weeks and for the rest of our lives. So prepare for Parsha Kedoshim by reading it through, letting it sink in. Look at Rashi there. If you really want to get ahead, read Ramban there. We'll be looking hopefully at both, and we'll start to build up these incredibly powerful concepts that we're now ready for, having removed all of our blockages, closed ourselves off, ready to let Kedushah enter into that Kodesh HaKadoshim inside of ourselves, Bezrat Hashem, on Wednesday.